Be'ezus Hashem, we're continuing and hopefully finishing Torah Chaf Gimel. We're starting on page Lamed Vav all the way on the left-hand column in the standard print where it says, Zoysa Torah Hilashon Rabbeinu Zal Ba'atzmo. This is coming after earlier it said, Ad Kan Lashon Rabbeinu Zal. Now Rabbi Nassan is coming back to flesh out some points from earlier in the Torah. The Rabbeinu's words are much more terse, much more sparing in the words, and therefore there's a lot more to unpack. So even though there's a lot of words left over, we'll see how far that we can get. One or two housekeeping things. Recently, I posted a Torah Ayin Gimel from the Tinyana, Tehillim Sugel Tshuva. I posted it here. I prepared it actually along with Teres Chaim, Kail Teres Chaim. I may do some recordings for them as well. So, along with the Torah, I might do sort of 10 or 12 minute pieces that I pull out to really focus on isolated points. Over here, we have a goal of getting our way through the entire Sefer Keseder. But if people do like that format, I'm happy to also add on and pull out pieces as we go through the main text inside, maybe post them separately. One way or the other, feel free anytime, reach out, shoot me a text, just let me know so that I know what you're responding to. You can shoot me a text directly, 718-926-3792. Feel free, text, WhatsApp, hopefully I won't lose it. If I don't respond right away, you can do that. Next, I just wanted to mention a vart that occurred to me that I think will help frame out as we go in to address the next point of Taivas Mammon. It's really based on something Rav Itchi Meyer said in the Sefer B'yam Darkecha, focusing on Simcha, which goes right into our Torah, which we said at the beginning, right? Ki yesh panim de kedusha an p'nahirin b'chinas chayim b'chinas Simcha. So understanding how Simcha fits into this, I think, is helpful, and it's going to it'll help be a useful introduction, I think, as we go forward. And this was my interpretation. This is how I remember it. So feel free to go check it up inside. It's a beautiful piece. Simcha comes from a feeling of shlemus. In the short term, sometimes a person is, let's say, missing a garment. So when they get a garment, they're going to make a shechiyanu. It's going to bring a feeling of shlemus, although in anything physical, it's going to be short-lived. Rav Itchi Meyer goes on to explain that a person is always missing an attachment to vitality itself, and therefore, the only real simcha, the only true sense of shlemus, is when a person is attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he goes on to explain it. I had a hargasha a couple of weeks ago, that very often a person is in a situation where everybody has certain things, doesn't have other things. There's always going to be those on the right and those on the left. And a person, let's say, for argument's sake, has A, B, and C, and this is where he's coming from, and often we take that for granted, and he understands that he has A, B, and C, but he's missing X, Y, and Z. Now, aside from the fact that at any point we might get something, we might want even more. Somebody who has 100 wants 200, and then he gets the 200, and he wants even more than that. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that if a person has A, B, and C, and he says, if I would only have X, Y, and Z, I would be a shalem, and let's assume that that's even true. What ends up happening is a person doesn't understand that if I would have X, Y, and Z, why would I be besimcha? Why would that bring me happiness? Because then I would be beshlemus. What happens is a person takes for granted those things that they do have, and then they attribute the simcha, they attribute what's going to bring them happiness, not to the idea that simcha will come from a sense of shlemus, but that because they're missing X, Y, and Z, and they're under the sense that X, Y, and Z will bring them to shlemus, they attribute happiness to X, Y, and Z without taking into consideration the fact that everything has a cost. So if a person sees a house that they want and they would get into that house, well then that house wouldn't fit onto their block. They would have different friends, a different shul. Maybe the social aspect would be different. It would be more of a commute. If a person is jealous that somebody else got a promotion, well, if they got that job, maybe it would come with more travel. It would come with more pressure, more responsibility. They would have less time or less emotional bandwidth to focus on their own priorities and goals and their family. And therefore, a person has to be very careful in everyday life that when they feel that a sense that something is missing, and that causes them to feel lacking, it causes them to feel like they want to fill in those gaps, and they are under an assumption that this is going to bring them shlemus and this is going to bring them happiness. A person has to be very careful to understand that what they're looking for is shlemus. They're looking for shefa from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more that a person attributes happiness to any particular thing, then in essence, they're associating their desire not with shlemus, not with an attachment to the source, not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving them everything that they need, even if in their own mind they don't have everything they need. They need a particular thing. But their desire is not to connect to the source of shlemus. Their desire their desire becomes for something in a vacuum, and that is actually disassociated from the source. This is perhaps pshat, or one idea, ezehu asher asameach b'chelko. What's an asher really? A person who has more than they need, a person who needs more than they have. It doesn't make a difference if it's $1 billion, $1 trillion, that person is poor. You can't make his necessities. A person who's an asher has more than they need. They have bandwidth. Now, a question of what should be necessities and luxuries is a separate question. So who's an asher hasameach b'chelkai? Those two things, the chelek perhaps is going on what it is that they have. Everybody only has a chelek. There's nobody that's ever going to have everything. The only way to have everything is when you say, I have everything that they need. The person who sameach b'chelko means a person who reaches a sense of shlemus and attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they have everything that they need, notwithstanding that they understand it's a chelek. They don't have everything in the world. They have a portion. What's their portion? Their portion is everything that they need for their avoda, for their job in life, that they can embrace, and then they can become part of a greater shlemus, and they can accomplish their task that can bring them to the ultimate fulfillment. And anything more or different than that will actually only take them away from what their tafkid is, either in terms of what they need to accomplish or in terms of their mental headspace. And at that point, anything extra is actually going to take away. For me, I thought that this was a powerful hezbonus, especially as we go into Rosh Hashanah. We're going to be davening for many things. Parnas is going to be in a lot of people's mind. But as we relate and understand that we're drawing shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're trying to attach ourselves to the source. Certainly one avenue of the bracha that we receive is directly through Parnasa, but the way that we relate to that Parnasa that we receive, whether or not that's an expression, the chelik of what we do have is relating to 100% of the shlemus that we're attached to, of the Parnasa and the shefa, whether we're receiving from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or whether in terms of Taivas Mamon, that takes on a life of its own. And rather than focusing on being Mavatel ourselves to the Rasan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and being within the Malchus and in Hashem's army, and certainly part of that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us all of our needs in order to accomplish our task. But no, the object of our desire itself on our own terms really comes to Taivas Mamon, which is not just one form of the Parnasa and the Shefa, but rather it's Mamon that is within our own desires for money. And we explored at length the nature of the Avodah Zarah, as it were, the nature of the Taivas Mammon, and why it really is such a tremendously powerful and broad Yetzirah. So we'll get back into it, but let's go into the text and Bez Hashem cover some ground. Okay, Zois HaTaira, this Taira up until this point, he Lashon Rabbeinu Zal Ba'atzmo, it was the Lashon of Rabbeinu, Adamakom Shinir Shem La'el, which we pointed out before was really in the middle of a paragraph, but that's where there was a transition where Misham Vahala Humi L'Shayni, from there on the words were mine, says Rabbi Nassan, Masha Shemati Oy Dvarim Shalun Izbaru B'L'Shayni HaKadosh, based on additional teachings that I heard from Rabbi Nachman, which were not clarified in the Torah. Vaid Leiloya Milin, this is really a paraphrase where it's bringing from a pasuk in Iov, Masha Shemati Veivanti Mipiv HaKadosh Be'eshe Zachisi L'Shmai Mipiv HaKadosh HaTorah Zais, that I understood and I heard more words, more godly words from him when I was zoicha to hear this Torah directly from him. Vizehu, and now Rabbi Nassan goes on. So we'll see a definitely a different style from the beginning of the Torah. Kashim is a noisav kiflayim kayaleda. Earning a person's livelihood, his mezainis, is twice as difficult as birth. Ki hayoy ledes, and now one of the things that we're pointing out that the chiddush over here is the note in my print points out from the Chavrusa L'Likut Maran, is that we are going to be talking, as it were, about the Shechina crying out, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. And there's a lot of different things that you could say about the Shechina is in Gullish, the Shechina is in pain, the way that we relate to the Shechina, when a person falls into Taivas Mamon, the Shechina has pain because now it's going to be a Pagam in the Malchus, in the Gilo Shechina, when now we're relating to the Shef on our own terms instead of the Shechina. But the Chiddush over here is that we're relating to money coming to the the world is Chevele Leda, which in a certain sense, I think is, I don't say comforting, empowering, but as we engage in this avoda, we understand Chevele Leda is not because something went wrong. I mean, I guess you could say post Chet Rishon, but the idea that there's pain associated with and cries that are necessary to bring a life into the world, that's not because we fell into tremendous depths, which means that if we're relating to Chevele, to the pain, the challenge of bringing Parnas into the world in a kosher way, to relating to Mammon in a kosher way, I'm just suggesting as Chevele Leda, what that also means is that this is part of the human experience. This is part of the world post-Gullus, and a person who now has to work on this tremendous challenge, this tremendous Yetzirah that's associated with Mammon, a person could have turned in the wrong direction, and therefore he has to climb out. But the idea that a person has this challenge is not on its own presumptively because he's done something wrong, but that this is part of the human element. And I think that when dealing with challenges, people sometimes get embarrassed. I went in the wrong direction. You know, why should I have this challenge? I should be holding above that. Chevele Leda is part of the human experience. So back again, Kashim Zainais of Kiflaim Kaleida, the difficulty of earning a livelihood is twice as much as a regular Yoleda. Kiha Yoleda Ramas Ayin Kalin, associated with Leda is 70 Kalin, and we'll try to unpack this as much as we need for the piece. Obviously, there's tremendously deep and Kabbalistic insights to this. Vahacha, when it comes to Taivas Mamain, Yesh Kuf Mem Kalin, there's 140, 70 times 2, that the Shechina cries out, either upon a person falling into Taivas Mammon, or maybe even in advance, as a person can have the wrong relationship with money, but in advance of that money coming out, Ayin La'el. We'll speak more in a minute. Let's unpack it a little. Kitzrichim lehisnasois ulehitstaref betaiva zusha mamon. We need to be tested, and to be mitstaref is to be purified. So we had mentioned early on that there's numerous challenges depending on the particular stage at which a person is at, either in his avoda or just as relates to the parnasa. Some of the things that we mentioned were: does a person conduct business honestly when he's working? Is it yegiyam to the point, extra toil effort makes him weary to the point that after he does his avoda, which is a mitzvah, after a person engages in parnasa, is he sapping all of his strength? He has nothing left over for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for his family, for himself. Is he going about it right? That shows not just that he didn't leave enough over, but maybe that really is megala how he has a relationship with money and with work in the first place. When he has it, is a koyche vaitzim yadi? Is he dissatisfied with what he does have? Does he understand I did my chiv of hishtadlis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me everything that I need? It might not match up with in my head what I want, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me everything that I need. Yeshli Kail, is a person selfish? Is he self-centered when it comes to his money? He's only worried about his priorities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everybody money, some for him, some to pass on. At the most basic level, we have Meiser. Is a person stingy when it comes to that? Does he resent giving? How does a person relate to the money? So over here, he says, Kitzrichim lisnasois ulitzdarif betai vazu shel mamon. Now, clearly, Rabbeinu is making a diuk, or he's being mechalik in the language, lisnasos litzdarif. I don't know 100%, but first of all, litzdarif is like a crucible. It's to take out the dross, to make birurim. If a person has a part of him, we all have a mixture within us. We have mixed motivations. When we make birurim, so we clarify, if a person can purify the way that he relates to mammon, once that mammon comes in, he's not going to have those challenges. Lehisnasais is a challenge. It's something that brings out a koyach, something that's there. When we had by Avram Avinu went through 10 nesyonos. And nes is like a flag. It's something that brings me koyach el apayel, something that might otherwise be dormant. And now, once it brings me koyach el apayel, now it becomes real. And now, when I can always advance one stage. Now that I take me koyach el apayel, I've now exercised in a different place. I now understand that I have the strength, and through exercising that strength, I double down, I solidified it, now I can go on to the next stage. So again, tzrichim lisnasus litzarif betai vazushal mamon koydem shezoichin lemasumatim bemuna. If anybody had a chance to listen to the show we posted on Tehillim Mesugah L'tshuva, we talked about this idea of zoichel lasus tshuva and zoichel l'tshuva. In order to be successful at avoda, we have to keep our eyes on the ball. Our task is to engage in avodah. Our task over here is to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, to take on the right priorities. Whether or not that leads to a result, and it might be sooner or later, some people have different natural netiyas. Some people are going to be able to clarify and to cleanse themselves of certain yetzer haras much easier than other people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they get as much, whether you want to talk about schar, whether you want to talk about as close to Hashem based on that avoda, they might not have had to change themselves as much. Our focus, our goal is on the avoda. The result is be'etzem eschus. We're trying to get close to Ein Sof. Ein Sof is infinite levels above us. The way that we addressed it in the Tehillim Sugel Tshuvah Shir, we brought in Sfir Sa'omer. We talked about Tehillim. A person has to work on themselves for 49, 7 times 7, and then on the 50th day, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. That's when there's Matan Torah. That's where there's Maimon Har Sinai. So over here also, you see that a person has to engage in their Avodah. Once they engage in their Avodah, that's necessary. Kaidem Shezoich, and that becomes a Schus. Maso Matan Bamuna, and this goes very well with what we said before, that the Taivas Mamon is really something that's within the human experience. We can't just get out of that. It's part of a human character trait. The opportunity to rise above that is be'etzem eschus, I'm suggesting, and therefore he says a person has to work on himself the way that we said, and after a person works on himself, so then he can receive the gift, and he can now relate to Maso Matan Bamuna, business with Amuna Laharviach Lahailin Mamun Dikdusha, which is fascinating. Again, we discussed some of this during the Torah itself. That means that the Mamun is different. It's not just the Mamun comes down, now it's a question of how I deal with it. Built into how I invested effort into the process of generating income, which is an avoda. The example that I've used many times is you tell a kid that he has to wash the dishes, clean his room, and then you'll take him to a baseball game. There's no real cause and effect to what the person did and the result, other than the fact that you did your avoda, you did your chiyuv, and then your father said that if you do X, then I'm going to give you Y. Sometimes that's very hard. It's much more challenging. If a person works and they're making $50 an hour, they work for 10 hours, they make $500, it's a very big challenge of kaychiv aitzim yadi. If the result comes from the avenue where the effort was directed, that's a very big test of kaychiv. It's a very big gift where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a person to put in their chiyuv, to put in their effort, and the result doesn't come directly from where their effort was. But what comes down now, what's generated, what's mailed into the world is Mamun Dekedusha. It's a different Mamun. A person has to be mezgaber ma'oid while he's working. What before the money comes, while he's putting in the effort towards business, shelo yipol oz l'taivas mamon klal, that it's a binary. It's either yes or no. Maybe he'll fall a little bit into taivas mamon. Okay, so then he's working on himself. But if you want the mamon to be kedusha, kadosh, hektish, separate, you want that this mamon should be totally just an expression of shefa, and it shouldn't be at all mixed in with an eruv of kaychiv aitzim yadi, of the avaydazara aspect, then a person has to make that he shouldn't be yipol the taivis mamon klal chas v'shalom while he's working. Rak maso matnu ye be'emes u'be'amuna. That, and we spoke again at length without going back into why emes and amuna go hand in hand, why each one is built on the other, but that as a person works, he's doing it based on emes and amuna u'leshaber, to break. You can have A and B. A is triumphant over B. A breaks B. U'levatel. Not only that A is more powerful than B, B doesn't exist. Kol ha-machshavas, all of the other thoughts, va-bilbulim, they're not even substantial thoughts, they're bilbulim, they're confusions. Va-taiva shel mamon, what was your taiva? First you could say, I'm working to get close to Hashem to understand that I should do things for the right reasons instead of the wrong reasons. Then you say that the wrong reasons are garbage, it's a facade, it doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as taivas mamon, of mamon that exists on its own. Shebaim alav, that any of the taiva of mamon that comes to him, rakol kavanasu yeh b'shvil Hashem is Baruch Levad, all of his intent is straight towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem can give him money to go buy the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a spring of water pop up in front of him, he'll drink. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the Shefa, But one's intent is only to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ultimately ask for to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be sustained and to get the Shefa and to bring Shefa to him and to the world. And that comes in the form of Parnasa. But he's not focused on he's not making the mammon an end in and of itself. The mammon is a way that the source is able, the brecha is able to overflow towards him. That once a person is focused on the money itself, it's confusion, it's bilbulim, it totally shifts the way that he relates to this entire avoda of masu matan, of working. That's also an avoda. That's also a way to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person shehinini mochna mezumen, that I'm going to be mekayim a mitzvah to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by supporting my family, by doing what I have to do. Kedei sheyizkalav Hashem yizbarach haidei mammon sheyarviach, so that he should be zoicha to now do avoda through this mammon, which is now mammon of kedusha. And he should be now zayche to give tztaka, to be machzik the Torah. But now the money that's going to support the Leim de Torah, that's mammon of kedusha. Two points. First of all, as relates to tztaka, the Balatani talks about it. Tztaka is an incredible opportunity. A person has to spend X amount of his time working, of his waking hours, of his energy. How is a person, I would love to learn all day, I would love to daven all day, I would love to do mitzvahs all day, but lemaisa, I have to work. How am I able to reconcile myself? I'm so inspired, and yet most of my day is mundane. When a person gives tzedakah, two points we're going to make, and again, it's not, none of these points are mine. Number one, a person doesn't, let's say he's giving maaser, a person doesn't make $9 for himself and $1 for somebody else. What it is, he recognizes out of every molecule of work that he does, out of every ounce of effort that he puts in, 10% of the indivisible whole is tzedakah. 10%, which means that some aspect of every single thing that a person does is hektish. Now, a person's able to elevate everything that he does. And the Baal HaTani goes a step further, says a person gives tzedakah, I can look up, it's in the Geras HaKodesh, a person gives tzedakah, so then sometimes that's harder, sometimes it's easier. But is he really tapping into his kishkis? When a person goes to work, a person has to engage in parnasa, it's for himself. It's something that he's invested in. A person can utilize his innermost character, his innermost ratzon towards that. When a person now gives tzedakah, he's able to tap into that element of himself that might otherwise be inaccessible, and now he's able to use that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So tzedakah is a tremendous opportunity that a person can use to relate to and to understand the work itself as also being a form of avodas Hashem. The second thing, which we're going to finish off this paragraph now, is again, to me, it's very hard, this idea, this concept of the 140 cries. I'm going to read just a small piece from Likutei Halachos, and we'll get out of it. We'll get out of it what we can. One second, I'm just flipping the page. So the Likutei Halachos in Chayshin Mishpat Hilchas Geneva says a lashon that Ikara Adam Hu Adas Bechinas Taira Bechinas Zois Taira Sa Adam, because what's called Adam, his Das, which is Bechina of Taira, when a person's Das comes into the world, so there's certain Chitzayim that want to prevent this Das, that want to prevent the Taira from coming to the world, the screams are able to cut through that, and the 70 screams at the time of Leda are able to facilitate, to bring this Das into the world. Parnasa, he says over here, Parnasa mammon shenimshach mi bechinas smile. Eruch yam b'yamina, the das, the Torah comes from the yamin, but the parnasa comes from the smile, and therefore there's actually a double hishtalshalus. On one hand, the hishtalshalus has to come, the shefa comes through the right, bechinas kula yamina, and then it goes from the right to the left, and then it comes down from the left side. What does all this mean? Very hard, but I'm going to tell you, I think, just from reading a bunch of the notes, my takeaway from it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established a system of spiritual physics by which he generates and he gives and he bestows onto the world. So the things that come into the world, some of them are going to be naturally, as it were, closer to the Ruchnius, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, that comes into the world, and some of them are going to be of steps removed. Das, Torah, a person is closer, as it were, it's yamin, it's less steps away from as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives into the world. Therefore, there's going to be one, let's say, gateway, window, opportunity for the chitzayinim to attach themselves to try to give it challenges, and therefore there's going to be that one portal where there's going to be a system of cries. Parnasa is going to go through two of these. What are those two? Basically, the two challenges, perhaps we could say, that exist at these two portals, this Kaychi Va'itzim Yadi, as a person is going to engage in a business venture or some way of making parnasa, was it my idea? Is it my chachma? I'm such a smart person. This is what I thought of it. And then once he has it, was it Kaychi Va'itzim Yadi? Practically speaking, I'm the person that worked on it. It's attached to my labor. So again, there's different discussions. I think it's very hard, but I think perhaps that this is one way of relating. Why is it twice as hard as a Leida? Not because it's on a greater level, but actually because Parnasa coming into the world has to go through more steps before from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, whatever this means, as it comes into the world, and therefore at each step there's a challenge before and after, but at the Deya level, at the intellectual level, and at the physical, was it the work of my own hands level? I'm the one who's responsible for it, and therefore there's more chances, as it were, for a person to relate to this in a avodah zaradik way, as it were, in a way that's divorced from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's associated with his own efforts or with something other than a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and therefore in order to remove these chitzayinim, or the possibility of these chitzayinim from attaching to the mammon, which would actually be inherent in the mammon itself, not making mammon kadosh, a person has to do these shivan kalin at both of these stages, at both of the time that is the leida that the shefa is coming to the world. That's why it's twice as hard. A woman giving birth has to scream at 70 cries. Ayin kalin kaidem aleida. V'hacha, but by Parnasa, yesh kuf mem, kalin, there's 140. 70 times 2, cries, she'ashchina tzoyvachas, that the shchina, as it were, cries out, chas v'shalom, halani miroshi, kalani mizrayi, al hanayflin b'tayvas mamon. Again, one associated with this kaychi, v'aytzim yadi, one associated, you could say, at the level of potential after it comes in, at the reish level, the way that I relate to it in my head, and the way that I relate to it as being the result of my physical efforts. But again, based on the way that I'm understanding it, it could be there's other ways in the Mefarshim of understanding it also, that as much as this is Chas V'Shalom, it's also a Leida, something that really is within the experience to be expected. This is how it is. We're born into the world, then there is Taivas Mamon. We don't necessarily relate to the source straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we relate to the world as being physical, and therefore Mamon seems, in line with how we've been explaining, it seems more disassociated from Hashem. It's going through more steps, and therefore this Taivas Mamon is really the first interface that we have with any Mamon that we get it, is that it is coming from a physical source, and therefore, even though it's Chas V'Shalom, even though this is a person's already starting off with this almost negative attitude towards money, so it is Chas V'Shalom, but it's not necessarily because we did anything wrong at the outset. Otherwise, why would we be looking at it as the cries associated with a Leida? A Leida is just part of what happens. Nobody did anything wrong. Okay. If feel free, shoot me a text. I would love to hear any time anybody hears anything that, especially where we have these, some of these higher level concepts, and we're trying to bring them down to earth. I'd love to hear your take, or just how you enjoy the shir. V'kaidem shir mavichin mamon. Before a person profits, tzrichim leilech v'lavar ulesnasais ulestareif derech elu hakuf mem kalin. Before a person profits, before this leida, before the money comes into the world, a person has to be leilech v'lavor. He has to go and pass through les nasos ulehitzdarif. There's multiple and different challenges and avodos to purify, to bring out mikayach alapayel, and to purify, to be mavar, these birurim of how a person relates to parnasa, which every single person needs. It's not the type of thing that a person can step away from. The litzayk, to scream out, the screaming out is what breaks past the chitzonim, which allows a person to relate in the proper way to the money, which is the only way to ultimately bring down the mammon as mammon de kedusha. Ulehispalel, and to daven, we're introducing now the prayer into this. Lahashem is Barach. So it's not just a matter of litzok is like to break past the chitzayin, but it's lespalel to associate oneself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's almost to break past the negative and to attach oneself to the positive. Lavar aleim b'shalayim ulinatzel mehem, that a person should be able to pass by these challenges that will present it. It's unavoidable, but a person should be able to get past it. B'shalayim, shalayim, by the way, at its core is really, the Baal HaTanya uses a lashon, I can look it up, of reconciling reconciling, when you have shalom between two things, it's two things that are otherwise opposite, not necessarily complementary. If they're complementary, you don't need shalom. To make shalom between two things is two things that don't go together, and to be able to reconcile them. One of the examples that he gives, if you have Michal and Gavriel, if you have something associated with Gvura and something with Chesed at the altitude of these two things, they don't go together. But if you say that they're both different arms of the same army, they both report into the same general and they just have different jobs, so then they're perfectly b'shalom. They become complementary to the rutzen of the general. And therefore, when we're mispah, we attach ourselves to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we need the parnasa. We need to be able to use the parnasa for our own needs. And on the other hand, we need to relate to it as coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu and out of his batlis. And we are subscribing, being batel self to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So through the litzayk ulispalel, we can be able to get past this potential challenge, b'shalom, and to be saved from it. Al kain kashim zaynaysev kiflayim kayuleda. Therefore, earning a livelihood is twice as difficult as a yaleida, which is one leida, dilu hasam ayin kalin v'hacha kufmem kalin v'havein, and understand it. Gamber az, further, shekuf mem kalin heim shtei pa'amim ayin, that 140 cries is 2 times 70. Hainu, kalani meraishi, kalani mizrai. Again, that it says if the Shekhinah is crying out, kalani meraishi, kalani mizrai, that it's my head is heavy and my arm. We associate with the kaychi va'itzim yadi, the challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, as it were, can relate to bringing money into the world, and wrongly in a vaydazaradik way, both from a raish and also from the zraya, from the way that he relates to intellectually as well as practically. Shehem b'china, shnei minei kaychi. And each one of these kailais, these sa'akas that we're talking about, is in the context of breaking past the potential chitzanim, the potential forces that can hold back the leida. And the leida that we're bringing in is not just mammon into the world. People bring bad mammon in all the time, but it's mammon from the source. It's mammon kedusha. V'hacha heim kfulim kalani meraishi kalani mizrawi kalani lashon kol alkein heim kufmem kalin. And he's tying this back in to Kalani's lashon of kol, of kufmem kol, of tzaka, screams, which is twice ayin, which is twice a yaleida. Kiba ms. Okay, again, kiba ms. Kol harevach hamachuna b'shem leida. All profit, everything coming into the world, profit, if a person, if what he brings in matches his expenditure, then there was no profit. Profit means that we're bringing in, we're entering in shefa into the world. That's mechuna b'shem leida. That revach is called b'shem leida. The whole is greater than some of its parts. When an isha and an isha come together, they bring another life into the world. That's a leida. That's something new. That's new influx of source into the world. V'chol hamamain, v'chol ha'ashpais. So not only the mammon, we're talking about shefa, nimshach and rak mishfiras tavas mammon. The mammon is the money itself, but the money along v'chol ha-hashpos, it's really one form, it's part of a greater picture of shefa coming into the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, rain, things can grow, and money. All of it is nimshach and rak mishfiras tavas mammon shibachinas emes kanal. This is maso umaton be'amuna. This is attaching ourselves to the arponim. This is be'etzem the emes. Back to the first paragraph when we talked about Yaakov Avinu establishing the matbea, attaching ourselves to the ponim dekdusha, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to chayim, to the arpnei chayim, to simcha, and we explained how emes and mud go together, and we associated that also with tikkun abris, but with Yaakov Avinu establishing the matbea. So this person who's able to break past the Taivas Mammon, which would bring him the other way, with the Panim de Sitra Achro, which is Choshech, which is Atzvus, lethargy, it's Avodah Zarah, it's detaching oneself from the source. Vizeu Bechinas Kushta Koi. The Gemara says that if you look at the letters of MS, the Aleph has two legs, the Mem as it were has two legs, and the Tuf has two legs. Sheker, the bottom of a Sheker comes to a point, depending which Ksav you're looking at. The Kuf has a long point, and the Resh has one point. MS is something that has Kiyum. We're going to associate Kuf Mem with Kum, Yukum, establishing. MS, if something is 2 plus 2 is 4, is true. Why is it true? At least in this world. world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world so that 2 plus 2 is a truism. If I say, where is this person, even if I say something that's true for the moment, it's not inherently true if in a moment it might change. Something that's emes be'etzem has a kiyum. The only thing that has be'etzem a kiyum is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is be'etzem existence, and therefore attaching ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, and again, emes and munah built on each other, as opposed to sheker, and therefore kushta kai is come. Come is to be established. Ki amar Rabbi Seitz Zichron Levrachav es kol hayakum asher beragleim. The Gemara talks about a pasuk in Dvarim Yud Aleph Vav, and it refers to Parnasa as yakum. Zem mamano shel adam shema midu al raglav. This is the moment of a person that stands him up on his feet. Val kain ikar hamaymud. Hamaymed Parnasa, Hainu Mamayne Shel Adam Shemamidu Al Raglav Hu Al Yidei Emes. The Iker Maymed Parnasa, the Parnasa that stands one up, is the moment of a person which is through Emes, because Emes. And together with Emunah, MS is associated with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and therefore the Parnasa that a person is getting directly from the source, which is really a relationship, it's down a pipeline connecting him with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that has Kiyum, which associates not just with the Avod of how he relates to money, but the way that he related to the work that resulted, as it were, in the money itself, that makes it Mammon of Kedusha. Shubachina Shviris Taivas Mammon Kanal, which really happens in advance of when he gets the money, it's as he's relating to the work itself and understanding what money is represents. V'zebachin is kushta koi, that MS has a kiyum. MS stands hain while yedei MS yesh le mamon. Through MS he will have mamon, but mamon which is yikum, mamon which stands him up. Kum is kuf mem, is through the 140 tzaakas shubachin is amida shamidu al raglov kanal. Aval shikra loikai, but shikra doesn't stand. Not only doesn't it stand, what does it mean? That if a person makes mammon that's not of Kedusha, did he really profit? Certainly, it gives off the appearance of profiting, but the fact that a person makes money, it doesn't necessarily mean he profits. On one end of the spectrum, we can certainly say that the money is going to come and go, or he's not going to be able to benefit from it. Maybe he'll have illness. Maybe he'll end up in debt. Maybe he'll invest in things that won't work out. But even if you don't say it like that, perhaps we can suggest that it won't have a yakum, it'll be sheker. Why? Because if a person has a certain job in life, and that job is associated with him and a certain station in life, and let's say a person, he invests all of his effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a budget of effort, and instead of using that effort towards Torah, towards mitzvahs, towards connecting with people for Kedusha and for getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he uses all of his efforts, for argument's sake, let's say that this is true, and he goes to make money that otherwise he didn't need for that, and now instead of spending, for argument's sake, 10 hours making money and 10 hours engaging in learning and Kedusha, he spends 18 hours making money and 2 hours. So now he reattributes that effort. So let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it so that out of those extra hours, Hitaka makes money. But did he have a yakum? Now he's using it instead. What's Parnasa? I need money in order to buy necessities, maybe some luxuries, in order to facilitate my job in life. That money, the Rebbe doesn't say this, but I'm suggesting perhaps this is one way that we could think about it also, why it's not really going to stand him up. The money is killing him. He had a certain job in life that was associated with him living in a certain way, with certain types of friends, certain types of attitudes, and now that he has money, that his tchunas and nefesh is not really prepared for, so maybe that's really going to bring his end. It's gonna kill him. So even if he does have that, profit, it doesn't automatically get lost. But over here it says, "Aval shikra lo kai ki sheker hu avodah zara." Sheker is avodah zara. Anything associated with Kadosh Baruch Hu is be'etzem emes. That's the truth. Everything. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Malchei Melachim. Hashem Melech Hashem Malach Hashem Yimloch Liolam Vad. We're talking about David HaMelech recently. David HaMelech, the tzaddik hadar puts everything together. When we relate to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's a plan, and whichever chelek we have is really our chelek in a shlemus. If one of those people doesn't do it, then it could be that there's something that's missing from the entire system. But sheker, when I decide to redefine that for my own purposes, I relate to money differently, that's avodah zarah. So where did that priority come from? Something else. Could have come from me, it come from me. I'm self-serving, I'm serving something else. The taivas mamon, I'm pursuing something else as a goal. Kamosha amra b'sein zechron al-vracha, hamachlif b'diburai, keilu oived avodah zarah. Somebody who's deceitful, it's as if he's oved avodah zarah. Valkein ayde sheker shu avodah zarah. So that's how we said that something that sheker hamachlif b'diburo is sheker. Something that sheker is associated with avodah zarah. So now we associate that with taivas mamon, and therefore taivas mamon elo shum kimu maimud haynu she'en lo mamon hanikra yukum kanal. So now we're associating sheker with avodah zarah, and why? Because hamachlif b'diburo, which is sheker, is avodah zarah, and that is associated with Taivas Mamon, and therefore Taivas Mamon is associated with Sheker. Why? Because it can't be called Yukum, because Yukum is something from Kuf Mem. It's something from that a person broke through with Tzaka through Taivas Mamon, through 140 Kailais Tzaakais, and this person did not, or he related to Taivas Mamon on his own terms, and therefore Sheker Tzavodah Zarah. Vezeo Shikra Loi Kai Kanal Ki Avodah Zarah El Acher Istareis V'Loi Ovid Peirin. Something that Sheker, how do you know, or at least one way to tell, how can you know if something is real, if a tree is real or not, or if an apple is real or not, even if it smells good or tastes good? When you plant the seeds, does anything grow? Is something that sheker is not something that can perpetuate. Kemavur shem b'maimer hanal hetev. Go back and look. Okay, we can take a breath. So now, a person who relates to parnasa not through yukum, kum, ms, breaking through the 140 kailais ta'kadosh baruch hu, but rather it's sheker, which is like avodah zarah, which we saw hamachlif b'diburo, which is sheker, which is avodah zarah. So we said that is not going to result in any peros. A person is not going to be marviach from that. Ki al pi harayv, elu harayvim b'yoyser achar taivas mamon. A person who is chases, he pursues money. He meisim balei chayvais. What's the we actually spoke about this a little bit earlier. Pursuing money is not because, let's say, a person can't pay his mortgage or can't eat. In that case, a person is not pursuing money. A person is pursuing livelihood. A person is pursuing his ability to eat and to live. When we talk about pursuing money, it's almost divorced from what you're going to use the money on. In fact, you could find people who have an illness. They can work their whole life and they can die with wealth under their mattress in their bank account. So how much, at what point did they work past when they needed the money for anything? It was only for the pleasure of having, not even papayal, not even exercising taivas papayal and using it for advarma surim. Just have the koyach of being able to have bailas, to be able to spend. Some of them even lived like paupers, only so that they should have more and more bakayach. If you're mizbainin on this, you come out with something very powerful. A person who pursues money, first of all, many of them end up dying balei chayvus. They're constantly leveraging, they're borrowing against things to pursue business. Uma ein biyadam, and they don't actually have anything. You have people that they're engaged in very large business projects. Everything is leveraged, and they're totally underwater. Vafilu mein amesim balei chayvus. Even if they don't die in debt, hein b'chayeim balei chayvus l'tavasam. That being in debt, I mean, this is an unbelievably powerful idea. What does it mean to be in debt, right? It means that I owe. I have to spend my efforts, and I have to spend my time, my energy, just to get back to ground level. I'm underneath. So therefore, one expression of being in debt, even if I have money, but I owe money, and therefore the money that I make is not even my own. What if I'm in debt to this need to pursue money? I don't even know what I'm pursuing the money for, but it's as if I owe this yetzer hara. I'm a balei chayv to the taiva. I mean, I said it before, but it's just as I every time I read it, it gives goosebumps. Shemis avim kol kach l'mamon harbe ad shem rotzim v'yegeim. Not only they rotzim, they're pursuing. Not even walking. It's not even just the direction they're going. They're running. Running takes energy. V'yegeim, they become weary. Ma'od kol yameim, not just in general, but all of their days, completion, all of it. V'yegeis gedolos, with a tremendous amount of effort and weariness. Umesak dematzim zakonis gedolos, they put themselves into danger. Right, I think we mentioned, I think it might even be a Beis Yosef, that a young person sacrifices his health for money, and an older person has to sacrifice his money for health. Right, but a person is putting themselves into danger, and again, if we're talking about somebody who needed to eat, that's why they needed the money. That's not what we're talking about. We're addressing the taiva head on. If a person is, does not know what we're talking about, ashrechem. Bishvil amalo is taivasam, only to fulfill their taiva, which can never really be fulfilled because it's not a taiva towards any end. There's no amount that if I had that amount, then I have what I need, because you're pursuing the taiva. The taiva doesn't go anywhere. The taiva, in fact, isn't actually to have. If the taiva is associated with, I need a certain amount of money in order to afford something specific, so then I would argue that that's not even taivas mammon. That's taivas whatever the mammon is for. So taivas mammon is just forever. It's always going to be, and you're never going to actually reach it. This is this outside other force, this strange avaida, literally. A person can never fulfill it. To pay off, as it were, the debt of this taiva. A person can't die and have even half of the taiva. They're always way behind the eight ball. It's not even, oh, I have to make that last dollar. A person always has the greater half of their taivas ahead of them. Kanal. Nimsa she'ein mamainai mamain klal. His mamon is not even mamon. Ki'ein lo shum hanami mamano. What is mamon? Mamon is a way that you can purchase things that you will need or enjoy. Over here, he's not even able to spend his money because of his taiva to have the money in his bank account or to pursue the money. Since if he doesn't even have a hana, the mammon, ironically, is not even serving, it's not even defined as money. Money is something you use to purchase it, and over here, this person can't even use it to purchase anything because he has to have it, so his mammon is not even mammon. I mean, you can't say it stronger than this. Ki el acher estares v'loy avid perin, because once something is avodah zarah, it doesn't produce. It doesn't give any payrice. It's sterile, kanal, period. The alkane. If there was any Torah, many Torahs, but if there was a Torah that would be appropriate as we really reconcile our Rosh Hashanah, and it is questions, we're davening for declaring Kadosh Baruch Hu Melech, a person should make personal requests, they shouldn't make personal requests, but certainly Parnassah, if you ever have a kvittel and people are asking for things, Parnassah is high up on the list. As we go into thinking about appreciating all of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us in davening, I mean, I'm just struck over and over again.
What an opportunity it is to be going through this Torah. V'alkein E.F. Therefore, it's impossible to draw down shefa and mezainais, bracha, flow, mezainais, sustenance, ulaharviach mamon, and to profit from mamon, hanikra mamon, dahainu mamon dikdusha. This itself is a profound line, because when we think about mamon, I would say I can profit in the right way, or I could profit in the wrong way. I can relate to money in the appropriate way, I can relate to money in the inappropriate way. What this line is telling me is that mamon be'etzem is something that's mamon dikdusha. Bracha and shefa and sustenance is something that is coming from the source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us, and he gives us different mechanisms to sustain ourselves. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the rain, we have the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes plants grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us mammon in order to be able to spend on the things that we need. What this means is that mammon is a way that we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if when a person has money, a person has resources that either don't relate to that is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're not using that as a vehicle to connect, but rather as a means in and of itself. They're relating to money in a way that they have bias over it, instead of understanding that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is extending them resources and the ability to gain access to that bracha. Not only are they using the mammon for the wrong way, what they're actually doing is disassociating themselves from the source of bracha. That's not even mammon. It's a facade. It presents itself as money, but that's not actually the true representation of what the mammon is. She is sameach pechelko, shezeu ikra shiras. Mammon de kedusha is where a person is attaching to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That means a person is finding himself within shleimus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asali kol tzarki. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. The Ribbono shel Olam gives us everything that we need to fulfill our task. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. We're in the world. We're part of it. We're part of that mission. We have a chelek of that mission. That chelek is our shleimus. That portion that is assigned to us is our chelek in that shlemus, and therefore we find simcha. Therefore, we relate to it as a shlemus. We're settled. We're besimcha. Simcha. It's interesting. I was thinking. Simcha, we usually think of the one type of simcha as exuberance and joy and happiness. But simcha is really a feeling of shlemus and of being settled. If a person on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has an unbelievably serious, intense tefillah, afterwards they'll be unbelievably happy. They nailed it. Even if l'havdil, a person on Tisha B'Av, they hear Eicha and they start crying, that tefillah will have made them incredibly happy. They were in the zone. They nailed it. Simcha is when a person finds themselves in shlemus. They attach themselves to purpose. Shezeu ikra ashiris. And now that becomes really what ashiris is. Because what's ashiris? Ashiris is where I have everything and more, but I have all of the resources that I need. I'm not strapped. A person who's an ani doesn't have what they need. They're in a state of chisaron. So if a person is sameach b'chelko, it doesn't make a difference that they have a chelek. They don't have all the money in the world. They don't have all the money that theoretically they could have. They have everything that they could have, because now that they live a life attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and purpose, anything that they have that would be extra would only be a cause for distraction. Maybe they would start spending it on things that they don't really need, or they would start pursuing it. They would start relating to it differently. When I relate to money as something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me to fulfill my purpose, anything less leaves me lacking, but anything more is also weighing me down. Which we said all the way in the introduction. Who's an ashir? A person who finds simcha with their chelek. Through breaking the taivas mamon, where the mamon takes on a taiva, the mamon takes on a life of itself. That's taking me away from the source. So if there's a source, kivyachol, a reservoir, and the mamon is what I get from that source in order to be able to divert it to what I need, that's an attachment to MS. When I start pursuing not the source and my attachment to the source, but I start pursuing mamon for something in and of itself, then I am disassociating myself with MS. I'm now going to be in Chayshach, Shemisham Ikar Hashbar Kanal, because it's from the MS, it's from the source. That's where the Ikar Hashbar is from. And when I take myself away from the source and I start pursuing just the dollars here and there, instead of that being my connection, that's actually taking me away from the MS. Val Kane, Kashim is a nice of Kiflaim Kheleda, and therefore Parnasa is twice as difficult as Yoleda. Again, both birth and both Parnasa are bringing something, bringing Shefa into the world. We explained some of the differences between them earlier. Kitzarach Lelech V'Lavar or the Shaber Hakuf Mem Kalin Chiltaivas Mamon Kanal. In order, there is a process associated with bringing Shefa, bringing Hailada into the world. That process could be bring Das into the world. It could be Shiva Kalim, Shivim Panim Latayra, attaching myself to the Har, attaching myself to the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we said that Mamon is two steps removed from that, or one extra step, right? Not only you bring it to the Amin, not only you bring it down the Ar HaTayra, the Shivim Panim Latayra, but I'm bringing it over that now I have to bring it over to the left side. It's a double process, and therefore not only is there 70 kailin that have to break through to be able to bring the chef into the world, it's actually going to be kuf mem asherak ideze yachailin harviach mamon. And this mamon we're talking about is mamon kedusha, true mamon. It's only through the kuf mem kailin that a person is going to be able to profit in a way that's true ashirus. Ki ikra shefa nimshach me emes, the true shefa, the true mamon, Ashirus is coming from MS, which means that you have to be associated with MS, which means that you have to break through to attach yourself to the MS and break past all the Sitra Achra, all the Klipa, all the things, Kaychi Va'itzim Yadi, at both levels that can attach yourself and take, as it were, the Mammon into their realm so that you associate it with your own intelligence, with your own handiwork, and that's taking you away from a relationship with Hashem. Shehu Bechina Shvirus Taivas Mammon, a person has to break the Taivas Mammon. Ubezem Kushra Maimar Hetev. And now we can understand this maimar very well. Breaking Taivas Mammon itself is unbelievable, because it means that there's something to be broken. We're not saying that a person, again, went down the wrong path and now they have to climb back out. The Taivas Mammon is there. It's
like Yoleda. It's something that's part of the human experience, and it's our job to be able to break past that, to attach ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'havin sham heitev ma'od ki divrei Rabbeinu Zal hem amukim ma'od ma'od v'yesh behem amkus gadol. Okay, a lot of modifiers over here. It could be that each one of them is coming to tell me something different, but suffice it to say that this Torah not only lays out the job and the avoda in front of us, we said we have to overcome our challenges and purify the way that we relate to Mammon, but it gives us a profound and a fundamental new understanding of how we look at so many of the things around us, parnasa, tztaka, sustenance, supporting ourselves and those and our families. Va'ata, this note it's either from Rav Nosson or from the author of the Parparas L'Chachma, but it was in one of the printings, and we were going to read it as part of the text. Va'ata muvan heitev masha'amar al emalon mide dechtive. Going back to the conversation when the Athenian scholars presented Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, tell us something false. Shakara taivas mamon mide dechtive. Interestingly, there's two ways really of learning the statement. We'll have to see how we learn it. Is this something that is false? It's a false statement. Or is this something that is falsehood? Tell me something that represents falsehood itself. It's a facade. Hainu sheker avodah zarah kamo shekosuv sham. Ki bevadai hu bechina sheker. Tell us something that's a total bechina of sheker. What's avodah zarah? When a person has a certain relationship with something and they relate to that as the source. When they walk over to the store clerk or the manager and they say, instead of paying you $100, how about this? I'll give you $20. I'll do you a favor and I want you to give me the item. All of a sudden, they're replacing the source, the owner of the store, with the interim thing that they have a relationship with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a drought. Why? So that people are going to do introspection, they'll make a tainus, they'll do tshuva. And instead, a person goes to the local rain god, they do a rain dance in order to make it rain. This is why we see, does a person can say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source and still be serving Avodah Zarah, still relating to some interim source in a spiritual sense as a source of a source of Shefa, a source of Bracha. This is Mamish what Taivas Mammon is. Mammon, again, is Shefa. It's Bracha. But the Bracha is really coming from the reservoir. Your person turns on the pipe and it goes through the pipes and then it comes to them. If a person had a way to manipulate the pipes in order to get water rather than doing Avodah, as it were, to the source, the reservoir, the source of sources, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be attached to me and I will give you the water, I will give you the bracha, I will give you the shefa. Instead, this person not only finds another way that he wants to get the shefa, but he doesn't even relate to it as coming from an unlimited source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the one who's constantly creating the world for a purpose and assigning this person part of that chelek in the Bria and saying, I will support you. Instead, this person wants to pursue money for his own purposes, on his own terms, or even if he's doing the right thing, it's something between anything between geneva and just being selfish or being stingy. He thinks that he's going to get around the system and he's going to make money and then he'll feel good about that. Instead of using his efforts towards what Hashem wants him to use his efforts on, instead of going to davening, instead of spending time learning, instead of spending time working on himself, he's going to spend more time at work. He's going to spend more time having money so that he could spend it on luxuries or on things that he wants to recreation. Ulbasof ein biyodom uma. Hashem made the world. It's going to be Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide on Rosh Hashanah what the purpose of the world is for the coming year, how that's going to be executed, and each person's place in that task, and what resources they need to do that task. Now you have a person who can either attach himself to that task and now get all of the resources that he needs, or he's going to pursue money. And it's a high level when we think about it. Even is he going to be davening for the money? What are you davening for the money for? Just make HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Melech and you'll have everything you need. This person wants money on his own terms and he wants to spend it on what he wants to spend it on, right? In the end, he's not going to have any more than was assigned to him. If Hashem says you're supposed to have $1,000 and this person goes and they make their $1,000 and they go steal another $500, Hashem is going to even it out at the end. There's no way to get around Hamakom. You can't get around Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kiviyachol, the entire Hamakom, the entire universe of possibilities of where anything is going to going to come from. The fact that you try to manipulate the system is not going to be successful, but in the interim, it looks like that. In the interim, you don't see the Malchus, the Shechina is in Gullus, you're operating on your own terms, we don't see that clarity in the world. This person thinks he's going to get around the system. Why? Because he doesn't relate to Mammon as being a connection between him and the source. He relates to Mammon on his own terms. Perhaps, by the way, we could say this is why, famously, money spent on Shabbos doesn't come off the Cheshbon. What Shabbos? We work 6 days. For 6 days, we have a task that we have to work in order to make money because that's our Chiyuv. On 7th day, a person doesn't have a 7th less income because they rest on Shabbos. On the 7th day, they're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're attached to the source. So therefore, any money spent in order to have Oineg Shabbos, in order to appreciate that relationship, that's also operating on a different cheshbon. Similarly, perhaps we could say that's why there's a different cheshbon to Meiser. A person has 10 things. 9 is for me, 1 doesn't belong to me. One of them is for me to pass on. That's Meiser. I don't have any bilis over this money. It's assigned to me, and that's, you know, a person is not, that's why even a person is not supposed to estimate Meiseris. Why? Because if I'm estimating, maybe I'll estimate up, and that's a wonderful thing. I'll give tzedakah, I'll give credit, but that's because it's mine to give. When I give exactly Meiser, I'm just drawing a line down and saying that this money doesn't belong to me in the first place. If it doesn't belong to me, it's not on my cheshbon. That's why it's going to come back to me. There's a bracha associated with Meiser, that a person that says can even test HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that, because when a person spends money on Shabbos, when a person gives Meiser, it's not on their cheshbon. If anything, it's actually an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they relate to Mammon as this vehicle to attach themselves to the source. V'alkein kol zman sheyesh biyado hamamon eino chai klal. But this other person who makes money and he relates to Taivas Mammon, even when he has the Mammon, that's not chayim. What's chai? Chai is energy. Elohim chayim. Chayim is the life within us. What's the difference between a perfectly intact dead body, a corpse, and somebody who's alive? The neshama, the attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This person who is serving the Taivas Mammon, when he has that money, he relates to his sustenance as something that's disassociated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His life is not even life. He's self-serving. It's Avodah Zarah. True life is attachment to Hashem. This person is just like, he's still walking, but he's not really alive. It's the example we've given before about like a leaf that falls off a tree. It might be green, but it's just dying a slow death. Or I think the Gemara in places gives an example of like a lizard when you cut the tail off and the tail is still moving. Valkain, Kozman sheyesh biyado de mamon eino chai klal me'achar she'ein lo shum hana mimamono. He's not going to get any hana from the money. Ki chasu lo b'chol pam yaiser. First of all, once he's pursuing money, the more that he, if he has $100, he wants 200. If he has 200, he wants 400. The more that he has, the more that he feels the chasr, because again, he doesn't want the money for some sort of a pleasure. Then he wants the pleasure, and the money is just how he gets it. He wants the money for its own sake, and therefore, the more that he has, he can't even enjoy what he has, because the more that he has, he only feels the lack. Either because he actually has debt, because he goes into a cycle of borrowing money, or he's a Baal Chayv to the Taiva itself, which again, what's a Baal Chayv? Somebody who's below sea level. He's below the ground level, rather. He's below the line. He has to pay off his debt just to get to ground zero. Alkein Heshiv Lahem, and therefore, B'shu Ben Acharan has said, Heininu Mili Dechtivi, Hainu Sheker. This is something that's false. This is falsehood. Shenid Melehem Shem Arvichim, Ube Emes Enem Arvichim Kanal. This is the facade. A person, they see money coming, they see going, they think that they're profiting, but like we said before, it's not only that the mammon is being used the wrong way, that's not even what money is. It's a facade. It presents itself as money. What is money? Mammon, money, mammon dikdusha, is shefa coming from the source in order to sustain oneself so that he can attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is dollar bills, but it's not mammon. Ki meisim balei chayves, this person is never really alive. He's a bal chayv, and then he dies as a bal chayv. Ki al pi rav heim nisharim balei chayves mamish, either literally the person is in debt, or sheim balei chayves letavasam kanal, or like we explained, is a bal chov tiz taiva. Ayein kol ze heitev le'el, look all back very well. V'tovin ata echa kol makusher yafen, you'll see how everything we said is tied together. V'ikar, shetovin Advarim Hetev, understand it well. Be'emes, that what we said is truth. It's not just a nice fart. This is mamish emes. We peeled away all the sheker. This is the emes of the physical world, of the money, of sustenance, of everything that we deal with all day long. Lemaisa. So again, a person has to understand well, be'emes, get to the truth of what we're saying, and lemaisa. What we're saying is, it might sound very high, but it's practical. Lishtadel, a person has to work. Lahatzil nafshecha, it's hatzolis nefashais. Otherwise, we said a person's not even alive. A person go through their whole life, and they're not even alive. Lahatzil nafshecha, mimar, from this bitterness, mimaves, shutaivis mamon, kanal, from the bitterness of taivis mamon. And this is, there's the Tehillim's where David HaMelech talks about the Rishonim getting ahead. This is an unbelievable nisayon, especially when we see other people who might be serving taivis mamon and they seem to be living it up in the short term, but the idea of taivis mamon can suck the life out of a person within their own self when they relate to what other people have, and they start having a society where they're always looking to their right, looking to their left. When a person understands that at every single second it's an opportunity to attach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how they have to relate to the physical world around them, to all of their possessions, to what's been assigned to them during life, and yes, and through the chiyuv of going to work, so therefore to go to work, to try to make a living, but everything I get is HaKadosh Baruch Hu now pouring Shefa down because I fulfilled my Chiyuv, my attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is now supporting me and sustaining me. When I live that life, I can be Sameach B'chelkai. I can achieve Shleimus. It doesn't always mean we daven on Rosh Hashanah that we should have a good year and a sweet year. Something could be good and not sweet, and medicine, it could be bitter, and it could be sweet and not good. Something that's very sweet and it's not healthy. We daven for a good year, Mir Hashem. We daven for a sweet year, Meretz Hashem, and when a person is Sameach and they reach Shleimus Bechelkai, it's only a Chelek, but they reach this Shleimus, then they can mamish live a life of happiness, a life attached to MS, a life attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a light with the Ar Anpin, a life full of light. As opposed to just getting sucked into the bitterness of the Maves, the Tzivus Mamon. Okay, and we will, there's a little bit left, we will finish that next time.